Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Don't forget, tomorrow we'll be live from the ballpark doing our show from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. leading you into the Rangers home finale. And right now, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
I do need a little bit of help from the Tolos out there. And this is one of the great opportunities we have to use our platform. I think there are a lot of people that use their platform for lots of different reasons. A lot of times I'm glad that I get to use it for this. There, I tweeted and I Facebook posted a picture of a man. He did something that I'll get to in just a minute, and I would like to thank him.
Okay.
And if anybody out there can go to my Twitter, add in the Majors, or check it out on Facebook, and you know who this guy is, I'd just like to say thank you to him because he did a good deed. I'll get to what that deed was in just a moment. Okay. So I appreciate anybody out there that, or if you want to share it so that we can find out who the guy is. He's a Rangers fan. I do know that. So I'll explain. And that's one of the reasons this game is so great. It's not just what happens on the field. It's other things as well. I wanted to kind of look at Javonte Williams a little bit, Kevin.
Sure.
Because you have not been a fan at all of the way he runs the football this year. You
what?
Basically were
false.
Like, why did we even get this guy?
Lies.
And I have made it my mission to just.
I was not a fan before the season started. I did not think this would work out. He has been way better than I thought.
How many fumbles in 4 years with Denver did he have?
8. I don't know the answer.
6.
Oh, okay.
2 his rookie year, 1 the next year, 1 the next year, 2, and 1 now.
Okay.
I do not suspect that he's going to be a fumble machine.
Okay.
Would you agree, or do you think like
no,
fumbles are weird?
I don't think fumbles are weird, but I will admit the one where the person, you know, was able to track him, stay in bounds, and rip the ball away from him was pretty impressive.
Oh, I'm impressive by the player.
Yes.
The other
by
player.
By the defender.
Yeah.
Impressive by Javonte.
I look at that. Did you see the Mahomes strip fumble that
yes.
he had where he lost the ball and then he was like, I got to go make a play. I was like, that might be the greatest play I've ever seen a quarterback make ever in the history of sports. Because usually quarterbacks, whenever they either get trucked by some defensive lineman trying to make a tackle, or they just walk the other way and they're like, I'm not getting involved in this. And Mahomes was like, I got to do it. That was almost as impressive as you just said on the one against Javonte Williams. I don't quite know how rushing success rate stands for you.
Okay.
Here's the definition. A successful rush gains at least 40% of yards required on first down, 60% of yards required on second down, and 100% on third or fourth down. The denominator is rushing attempts.
Okay.
So that's the math that we're doing.
Gotcha.
There. And I know everybody out there is like, I did not sign up for math with the KNC Masterpiece. I keep telling y'all this. And Kevin's like, oh, force math. And then here I am throwing math out. I know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
In his rookie season, his success percentage was 46.3.
Okay.
In his second season, his success percentage was 48.9.
Oh, okay.
The next year it was 40.6.
Ooh.
And last year it was 46.8.
Oh.
So I would say that it was all right.
Yeah.
He was all right. Right now he's at 67.4. And now I don't know if that number will stay that high all season long. But it does appear that he is have the run game at least is having success. Would you agree that what we've seen is a successful running game from Brian Schottenheimer?
Absolutely. And can I give you one more number to be pro Javonte?
Oh, look at this. Now he's coming around to my side.
I mean, before this, look, yes. When presented with new information, you are allowed to change your mind. Oh, okay. That's right. Okay.
I appreciate it. Actually, yes. I totally agree with Kevin on that.
I actually think society would be a lot better place if when presented with new factual information, you would reconsider. Anyways, Dallas running backs they lead the league in, now this is a good and a bad stat. They lead the league in 4.41 yards after contact per carry. That is the best in the league. So even after they get the initial hit, to your point, they're gaining a lot of yards. Now, I know some people are going to use that statistic as potentially an indictment on the offensive line and getting hit early. And I hear you on that. That's another conversation. But I think that backs up your point for sure.
Also, he's never had more than 4 rushing touchdowns in a season.
Really?
And he's at 3 right now.
Wow.
According to Pro Football Reference.
Okay.
His rookie year, he had 4. None in year 2. But wow. he only had 47 rushing attempts that year. Year 3, 3. And then last year, 4.
Okay.
And right now, he currently has 3. Kevin, we might be seeing a career year for Javonte Williams. Now, where that stacks in the grand scheme of how that compares to other Cowboys seasons, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know where to predict this is going to end up. Is he going to be, for this year, better than Emmitt Smith at his best? Maybe not.
Probably not. Feels like averaging
75.7 yards per game in this era, where it doesn't seem like 100 yards is an attainable thing anymore, for whatever reason. The reason is because the passing game is so effective in the NFL. It's so much easier to move the ball up and down the field by pushing the ball down the field for a 40 yard reception. But right now it does look like he might have a career year for himself with the Cowboys if everything continues to go the way that it currently is.
Look, I know a lot of times we're talking about the negative aspect of it, but if we're talking about one of the things that has really surprised me this season from a positive, is I definitely have to eat my words about the Cowboys not using Javonte in the preseason and stuff like that. He's looked good to start the season for sure.
I am kind of curious when it comes to if he has a career year, does that change how you look at him next year? And you're like, okay, this dude's probably 26 years old. Because sometimes something like that happens and we get caught up in, well, that was the career year. He's going to be that again, or he's going to be that every year from here. And I'm trying to, that's the hardest part. And I think brought us and every scout out there, the hardest part is projecting what a player is going to be down the road. And I want to know what traits I will see this year that I think will carry over, because there are moments, Kevin, when we watch him, he will lower his shoulder and say, I'm getting extra yards. And I don't know if that's I'm playing and trying to earn something here right now, or if that is this is just how I'm going to be for the rest of my career guy.
I would consider having a discussion about like maybe a 2-year deal. I don't want to franchise him because that money is locked. But then I know a lot of people are just like, hey, let's just turn to the next running back. Just draft the running back next one. Or there's probably people who think Jaden Blue might be good to go by that point. So I guess that would kind of depend on him, but I would at least have that conversation.
The targets per reception, targets and receptions, 13 of 15. He's a reliable receiver for Dak right now as well. So that was kind of what I wanted to dive into a little bit. I'm making jokes about Kevin's not been that mean to Javonte Williams. I really dramatized it. But I definitely did dramatize that a lot because I like to give Kevin a hard time. Because, you know, some people want a heel turn. It's wild.
Man.
Some people do.
Okay. And so like earlier, and I responded to that person and they said, y'all are homers because you said Brandon Aubrey is the best kicker in the league. As if that's a fringy opinion. And they were like, Cameron Dicker is obviously the best. And it was like homers. And I just responded and I was like, are you kidding? And... because they said Dicker the kicker has the best percentage. And I was like, that's great. He's a great, like, short field goal kicker. But if you look at their long field goals, he's 76%, whereas Brandon Aubrey is 90%. And also Cameron Dicker has never been picked as an All-Pro, and Brandon Aubrey's been first and second team All-Pro the last 2 years. If you go around the league, Brandon Aubrey will easily win that vote. And
I hope Cameron Dicker has a phenomenal season.
Yeah.
That'll be great.
Yeah.
Brandon Aubrey's been fantastic.
Yeah. So, like, I don't even know what we're doing. And then they were like, Homer, Homer, Homer. And I was like, okay, so you don't have any real.
Maybe they just love, like, The Simpsons. Opinion.
Maybe. Simpsons is great.
It is a really good show. All right. Now to one of the reasons that this game is one of the greatest. There is a lot of good that I think I have memories from in baseball. And 877-881-1053, what's your favorite? It can be on the field, it can be off the field, but your moment that you saw an interaction happen that you were like, that's what humankind should be like.
Okay, this isn't going to be quite that, but I was hoping I could shout out Bobby. Remember, I told my favorite birthday memory was being at the Marathon Rangers game with Jim Sundberg, hit a home run. He sent me an article from, like, the game story, which I actually think was written by John Heyman.
Wow.
And it was just really cool to read and talk about, like, well, the game could have been over 3 hours earlier, but Jim Sundberg. So I wanted to shout out, that is always a special memory, though I think we're going a different direction.
And John Heyman wrote, and this kid, Kevin Hagelin, was sitting in the stands, and you were like, oh my gosh, that's me. So, like, obviously there's a lot of bad stories out there. But yes, there are so many uplifting stories that happen at the ballpark and around this game. I mean, you can say how great. Every time I see a player toss a ball to a kid, I'm just like, awesome. I really legitimately am like, that is awesome. A memory that sticks with me, Mickey Tettleton, foul ball down the line. He comes right up to us. I thought he was going to take our popcorn. He did not. He just said, how are you guys doing? And we were like, oh my God, it's Mickey Tettleton. You know, like, these things. Maybe your team, everything lines up and you win a World Series.
Right.
My sister called me last week, and a kid in their neighborhood, a kid at one of the schools, lost his father and now has no parents. Moving in with grandparents, him and his sisters. And that is it's a strenuous situation.
Yeah.
He also had broken his leg. Jeez. And there's a lot of other like, you know, when life, you feel like life just keeps throwing things at you.
Yeah.
I was able to come up with, I was like, let me see if I can figure something out. I was able to get some tickets for him to go to the game last night. And he took a sign that said, it's my birthday and it's my first Rangers game. And at the pro shop, a guy saw a sign and said, hey man, this is great. Pick out whatever you want in the pro shop. I got you.
Oh.
And he ended up getting a baby blue Rangers hat, and he was just so ecstatic about
That's
it. And
cool.
By the way, listen, the only reason I wanted to really do this for this kid was, we know that when you're in a place where you're just, I need a respite. I need a place to go. Yes. I need a moment of, I don't have to think about anything else.
Yep.
Later in the game, the same guy found him at his seat. And brought him, he did, it was one of the All-Star Game American League jerseys. Brought him a jersey and handed over to him and was just like, hey man, this is your first game. I just wanted you to have something extra to go along with it.
That's nice.
And like, these are the kinds of interactions that only we are able to do in these stadiums and provide for other, like, no animals got something like that on us. We're humans, dude. We can do stuff that's awesome like this.
Yeah.
And this was a tough season. I know for a lot of Rangers fans, that moment right there for that kid is going to stick with him forever. So again, I did post, I grabbed a screenshot of a picture of the guy that brought the jersey to him. If you look at In the Majors on Twitter or on Facebook, I'd love to say thank you to this guy because that was an awesome thing to do. He didn't have to. He didn't have to go make that a special night.
Yeah.
And you know what? He probably doesn't even know the story.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Story of why that kid was there in the first place last night.
Yeah.
And so for him to just out of nowhere do an act of kindness like that.
That is a nice
story. That is what makes this job, this thing we call sports, this whole thing so much better and so much cooler. And that's why also I think that baseball is one of the greatest games because of things that happen just like that.
That is delightful. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for My Buddy's an Idiot and also FC Dallas club ambassador and former player Kenny Cooper joins us next right here on The Fan.
The count even here at a ball and a strike, the pitch. And that is floated out into left center field. This could be trouble. It falls for the base hit. Outman hits the bag at third. He's being waved home. Here's Osuna's throw. It's a little late as Outman dives across the plate to make it 3-1 here in favor of the Twins.
And the Rangers would lose that game to officially wrap up their playoff contention for the season. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Got Kenny Cooper coming up from FC Dallas in just a few minutes. But right now, it's time for My Buddy's an Idiot, 877-881-1053. Does your friend have a terrible sports or pop culture opinion, or do they have to have hand surgery? Now, I'm not going to call him an idiot, but college football injuries, really all injuries, continue to be idiots. As Johnny Mateer, the presumptive Heisman favorite, is going to have to undergo hand surgery for an Oklahoma Sooner team that looks like they have the defense ready to go. Mateer has been playing really well, and that sucks.
See, the thing about Mateer is, like, he's got this attitude and personality that the guys respond to. Very much like Baker, right? Where it's like this full go, pedal to the metal kind of vibe. And then that dude completes more passes after he has this injury.
Yeah.
And now he's having surgery instead of just finishing the season out. I don't understand. Why doesn't he finish the season out, Kevin? He could finish the game.
I feel like maybe once wears off and possible future medical problems if you continue to do that. Plus,
live in the now.
Do you think this is really breaking the future headline writers who were already thinking he would win a Heisman and say we're living in a materia world?
Yes, they got to go back and delete those stories now. I see what you did. I hate this for OU, obviously, because I'm a fan.
Right.
But I also hate this for the Texas OU game. Because is that thing going to, like, is it going to turn now in a completely different direction? We already thought it was going to be a low scoring game because two good defenses and so forth. But is that going to turn that into drastic favor for UT now that that's out? Have you looked at the spread on that, future spread?
Ooh, no, I haven't.
Me either.
I will.
But I will.
Do you feel like you should take the under in that game?
I would.
Not even knowing what it
just
might
be. Just based on the way these defenses roll.
All right. Now, my next question is, am I an idiot or is Aaron Boone an idiot? So Giancarlo Stanton the other day, he hit his 450th home run. And one of the things that Aaron Boone said is he's still going in what's a Hall of Fame career. And that really made me pause because there were times.
Like Martin pause?
No. FC Dallas coming up in just a minute. But there were times when I thought Giancarlo Stanton was going to be a Hall of Famer. But unfortunately, he just ran into a plethora of injuries. And I think this is where I get caught up on some things like that. I get it. 500 home runs usually, or assuming there's no steroid accusations, there's a rubber stamp into the Hall of Fame. But you look at Giancarlo Stanton. He won MVP in 2017. He finished second in 2014, and I think that's the year he probably would have won if he wouldn't have gotten hit in the face with a baseball, if I'm remembering that year correctly. But outside of that, he's never finished top 10 or even top 15 in MVP.
Yeah, he had a two-year window that was exceptional, and we thought he was the future of baseball.
100%.
I can't say that the injuries are... They have plagued him so much that you haven't been able to get good, consistent play from him.
Yes.
And so that's been one of the factors there. I think this falls under Hall of extremely good.
Okay.
And dangerous and all of those things. But I don't think that this necessarily puts him in the category of well-deserving. We can all just say, yeah, he's a Hall of Famer. Like Aaron Judge, the way he's been playing, you're like, yeah, that's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Shohei Ohtani, that's a Hall of Famer. And you know what, Kevin? Because the way he played it for a short period of time, we all looked at it at that time and we were like, he's a surefire Hall of Famer. The rest, did he play himself out of it?
Okay.
Or not play himself out of it because of injuries?
I mean, like to your Russell Wilson thought he played himself back into the Hall of Fame just in that game against the Cowboys.
He's like, I did it, guys.
And then he played himself back.
Y'all remember all the moon balls?
Yes. Oh, I'll always have the nightmares.
Not from that game specifically.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Is Bill Belichick an idiot for coming back and thinking this college football thing would work for him, at least in the first year? They lost to the University of Central Florida 34-9, but most people just want to talk about his, I don't know, granddaughter, girlfriend walking around the sidelines in F me boots. And I don't know, like what are we doing this season? Do you dispute my description of that footwear?
I have no clue what you're talking
about.
You
are a liar. You know what that term means.
I know of two boots, actually three: work boots, mm-hmm. cowboy boots, mm-hmm. and the silver boot.
You know what? Just text in what you think that phrase means then. We'll see if Corey can learn along the way. Plus, Corey's a liar. He knows what it means.
I don't appreciate you saying that. But
do you think I'm wrong?
I wanted to answer the other question first, Kevin, about Bill Belichick being an idiot. Gotcha. On the front of just going to a college and thinking you can do it, it does take some ego to do that. And not every, like Kurt Cinetti, didn't he show I can just go to Indiana and win?
It feels like
I just need the money and I can, and I'll get the players. I'll make this a winner. This is a different game. Bill Belichick is learning. I'm sure he knew it was a different game before too, but there are a lot of other things that fall into it. He thought scheme is the baby and that's the thing that's going to win everything for me. Yeah, maybe he is an idiot. Do I think that he can still work his way into being a winner for him? I do, just because history tells me that, but I could be completely wrong. I think there are a lot of other people that thought that Bill Belichick was going to be really, really successful, and now it's looking that the wrong way.
From the 214, Kevin, can you please explain to me your F boots comment? My 6-year-old niece is in the car with me. Yes, I will, via what somebody else texted in from the 940. Friend me boots.
Or find me boots.
Oh, yeah.
Find me on the sideline.
Because they were sparkly too and stuff.
Okay.
And then there's Brian Callahan. Is Brian Callahan an idiot? Well, first of all, he said he's not going to call plays anymore. But then he also followed up and said he felt fine about the way he was calling plays. I hope that press conference that I wasn't in, the follow-up question was, yes, why are you giving up play calling duties if you're fine with the way that it's been going?
Because somebody made me give up play calling duties.
Okay, well, there might be a good reason for that. If you combine his record last year of 3-14 with his 0-3 record thus far this year, that puts him at 3-17 for his coaching career. That is the lowest winning percentage of any coach with a minimum of 20 games coached in the history or since the merger.
Is that good?
That is not good.
Well,
in fact, that is the worst.
Well, Kevin, you know what they say then? It can only go up from here. Those numbers can't get any worse than that, obviously. Or can they?
I mean, they definitely can. Now, I do not think that this... They definitely can.
Kevin lies to children and no one holds him accountable. Outrageous.
That is a fair point. That is a fair point. You know what? As long as we're going down in flames, let's make it worse.
Oh, no.
From the 404, I want to make clear, I do not think that this is political at all.
Oh, no.
My buddy is an idiot because he couldn't pronounce acetaminophen during a news conference. Look, there's been a couple of occasions on this show where I've thought, I need to name check that and find out how to pronounce it correctly. Then we've started the segment and we're up on that bit of information. And I was like, oh, crap. Mm-hmm. I didn't prepare for that. But if the primary word that your news conference is going to revolve around is acetaminophen, you need to have it. Mm-hmm. You need to have it on lockdown or postpone the press conference until you've got it.
It's a really fun word to say, honestly. Say it.
Acetaminophen.
It's fun to say. It really actually is. Acetaminophen's fun thing to say. It's a word worth learning and remembering. I definitely agree with you on that.
And I want to make clear that is an apolitical statement that I would say about any candidate. If you have a press conference that revolves around one word, you need to get that word right.
Yeah, it's kind of like, let's say you want to ask a question about Christmas. You know, what kind of research do you do before you ask that question?
That's a great point. I am definitely an idiot for asking a question to an FC Dallas player who made very clear after the fact that they did not celebrate Christmas.
That was the turning point in the Rangers season, because then we told Marcus Semien that joke and it blew his mind for the rest of the year.
He thought it was amazing, still responsible for one of my favorite responses.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Huh, probably not getting him back on the show then. And like, I just thought that was so freaking clever, but it also really hurt my feelings. But he was right. I did not do the proper research
and
for that.
Still to this day, the fact that he was walking ahead of us, and as we're telling the story, he turned around to get in the group. He was like, I got to hear more of this story.
Yes, he did.
It tells you everything you need to know, Kevin.
Yes, he did. And Mike, that might have been the happiest I've ever seen him. Sprinting through the parking lot to go tell Marcus Semien. He goes, oh, Marcus, you got to hear this. And like, he thought it was the most amazing story that one could ever hear in their entire life. And so that was sad for me. What is not sad? Right now, we bring on FC Dallas Club ambassador, former player Kenny Cooper. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. How are you guys?
Man, we're doing good. And I have to imagine that you are doing pretty darn good as well. Over the last month and a half, 2 months, this team has gotten on a roll. And I have to say, y'all have put yourself in playoff positioning that at the end of July, I would not have necessarily predicted.
Well, the team's flying at the moment, just as you said, and it's the best time to be flying. So, 6 games unbeaten. We found amazing form. And as I said, it's the perfect time of year, to find this quality. So I'm really proud of the boys. We're in a great position. 4 games left. And, we got it all ahead of us.
And the 6 games unbeaten, I think we all understand how important that is. But specifically the Austin and Colorado matches, these last two, to get the win and to get the 3 points. How much does that just change y'all's fortunes? Because there were 3 straight ties, which is great because you're not losing, but you're not necessarily gaining ground in the standings. So how important have these last two results been?
Yeah, I mean, they've all been important. I mean, every point is important. And, you know, come the end of the season on that last day, you know, it might be one goal, one win that makes sure that you qualify. I'm thinking back to the Premier League season years ago. I think Man City won it on the very last day, the last kick of the game. And so, yes, every minute matters. Every goal matters. Any point that you can get. But I think that, you know, we've gotten big points against good teams. So there's a lot of really great confidence that we can take from it. The guys are scoring. Petar Musa is, he is on, he's on 16 goals. He's really close to the club record. I think he's going to fly past it. And I hope he does. And it's just a really exciting time for our club. And it's a good time to get behind the team. And, you know, we got these huge important games coming up.
A couple weeks ago, Farrington, I think it was Musa also, he had the behind-the-back flip with his foot to score the goal. How does a goal like that come together? Is it just luck, or are you like, no, we've done that before?
You know, I think those two just have a special chemistry. I mean, I get to be around them on a daily basis, and, you know, you can tell they have a friendship there. And I think there's some different nicknames for the two of them, Parrington and Moosington, you know, flying around.
Oh, but, I like that.
Yeah, they have a special chemistry. You can see it on the field and off the field. And personally speaking, I mean, I played that same position. I know what it's like when you have someone by your side that, you know, you respect, you love, and, you know, when that you can make magic happen together. And the two of them, they're just a joy to watch. I mean, this past weekend, Logan just lofted this beautiful cross in, and that Musa slam dunk home. And,
yeah,
they're fun to watch. And I mean, really the whole team's flying, you know, it takes everybody. I mean, really, I mean, you know, through the season, you know, we have an all-star goalkeeper in Martin Paas. Michael Colodi has stepped in and done really well. Jacob Jackson recently has stepped in and has been doing amazing. You know, you never know when your name's going to be called. And, you know, I give Eric and the staff, you know, and everybody just so much credit, because everyone's playing their part, and that's what it takes.
Now, you mentioned Michael Colodi. We had him on at the stadium immediately before y'all's first home win of the season. We've had two other players who, after being on our show, have made their debut with the first team. And then we had Nolan Norris on last week, and then he immediately gets selected to the United States U-20 World Cup team. What amazing thing do you think is going to happen in your life this week for coming on the show?
I expect great things. You know, just as you mentioned, the goalies have done so well. And, you know, I want to point out our goalkeeper coach, Drew Keeshan. He has been here. He's in his 18th season. The guy is a machine. You should see him work on a daily basis. And he does such a great job getting these guys ready. We're so fortunate to have him here at our club. Amazing guy. 18 years. I'm going to say it again. It's amazing to be at the club that long. And anyone that stepped into, you know, that goal has just done so well for us. As you mentioned, Nolan was selected to go to Chile for the U-20 World Cup. I mean, what an honor. You know, this is a kid that's been at our club for a long time, come through the academy. You know, he's such a big part of the FC Dallas family. And there's just a lot of great storylines out there. Bernard Camungo, whose story is just incredible, coming through our second team and now flying. I mean, he scored the other night. I mean, there's a lot of great storylines, and I think there's going to be a lot more as we wind this regular season down.
Well, Bernard was one of the players that we were talking about that moved up, so I love that. Now, I know the team is getting ready for Portland on Saturday, but another cool thing that we really enjoy is we do a lot of work with My Possibilities, and on Saturday, My Possibilities is going to be teaming up with the FC Dallas Foundation to host a community clinic at My Possibilities. Right. I just wanted to know, because obviously you get involved in this stuff all the time, what does it mean to be out and about in the community that you've spent so much time in and give back to people?
Well, I mean, I just feel so honored to be in this role, and I still get this, you know, to wear this crest, you know, on my chest and be out in the community. And, you know, our community, you know, they support us in such an amazing way. You just have to come to our games on the weekend and see just, you know, the numbers and, you know, and to see just how many people are here, the noise, you know, you feel the energy, the noise. And, you know, so when we're doing community clinics or watch parties, it's our opportunity to, you know, to give back. But as you mentioned, we have a clinic with My Possibilities. We actually, and I'm going to be there. I can't wait to be there. You know, we actually built our foundation, built a field out there a couple of years ago. Our Special Olympics Unified team actually have a game tonight versus the FC Dallas staff, which is going to be amazing. I can't wait. We have there's so much that happens up here in the FC Dallas world. I mean, it's a huge ecosystem with the academy, you know, about 300 youth boys and girls club, the first team, Unified Special Olympics team, you know, watch parties. I mean, there's just so much that, that happens out here. And, you know, I feel honored, as I said, just to still be a part of it and to still wear this crest.
And thank you very much for joining us, for helping do all those things and support all things FC Dallas. We appreciate it, good sir.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. There you go. Multiple-time guest of the KNC Masterpiece, Kenny Cooper, right here on 105.3 The Fan and the FC Dallas on the road against Portland this weekend. With the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing. It is time for our chit chat with the fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Amazing, Higgy. How are you?
Man, I'm doing great. Thank you very much for asking. How much do you guys, if you could project to tomorrow morning, because I don't think he got to it today, how much do you think RJ is going to go after Sister Jean the morning? She announced her retirement due to health concerns at 106, which makes sense. And he just does not seem to.
He hates
Sister Jean. That lady. Yes.
But it's a bit now that he's got to lean into. So he's probably going to go after her pretty hard in the morning. I mean, she's 106 years old.
Do you ever see those articles when somebody who's like 98 and famous died and they're like, cause of death revealed? And you're like, because they're old.
Old age.
Like, I don't need to know why they died. They're old.
Something stopped working.
Now, on the sports front, we talked about this earlier in the show, not having Zach Tom out there for the Packers on the right side.
Fake name. Still don't believe that's a real name.
Okay. Well, I could have. Yeah, because of Tom Zach. I get you.
Yep.
How big of a deal is that for the Packers and a team that seems to have a pretty big advantage going into the Cowboys game?
I used to work with a guy in Portland. He worked at the oldie station, KISN, called Scott Tom, and his name was totally made up.
Two first names?
So that's all the evidence I got there. It doesn't matter. I mean, Cowboys might get shut out. If the Packers have to, they could win this game 3-0.
Yeah, there are a couple of different ways you're going to play this thing, and we'll work with the Packers offensive group today at 3:40. But I think the Packers, they're going to have problems on the edges, but your edges aren't good enough to take advantage of that. That's a real issue. Now we'll see what happens with Clowney, but where the Packers have to be a little bit concerned is like, okay, what about your defensive tackles? Because those guys have struggled with, when you look at like Sean Ryan and the guys at the right guard spot, he struggled with like guys that are really, really quick and kind of explosive. And that's one thing, if you start to have Solomon Thomases, the Oso Digizuas, guys like that can kind of give him problems. But teams have now started to double team your tackles and let your edges get single blocked. But the Packers will also keep 12 personnel in, and then they'll chip your edges if they feel like that you're a problem. But man, they've had some problems. I think the different line combinations they've had through three games is pretty crazy. And you know, another one's going to happen this week. But their offensive line, you could talk about all the issues and stuff that they have. But are you good enough to cause some problems in the last couple of weeks? You haven't shown that at all.
You know, we were looking at this list earlier. They always put out the list of all the modern era Hall of Fame candidates. What do you think about the candidacy? Because he never advances far of Eric Williams. Sorry, Brad. I say just kick the mic over and I'm going to send it right back to all of y'all.
Yeah.
But it seems like he doesn't get a lot of conversation. I know his career was shorter, but
if he would have not had the car accident, I think he'd have been a Hall of Famer. He's the only man that I've seen Reggie White not want to face.
Yeah.
And Reggie White was one of the greatest ever to play. And Eric Williams just neutralized him into just a pretty average player. That's the way. But if Eric doesn't have that car wreck, I think he could be considered one of the best tackles to play in the league. Unorthodox the way he played, but his demeanor, his toughness, all those things were top shelf.
I wasn't scouting at that age. What was the difference of the player that gave Reggie White such a hard time? Was it
he hit footwork? Reggie White in the nuts?
Okay,
and he poked him in
That's
the
a
eye.
Donkey.
He poked him in the eye. He hit him in the ribs.
Unorthodox. I got
yeah,
you.
Yeah, he would pee on himself, and you know, and he'd play the game. You know, he's dirty. He's literally dirty. He's
unhygienic.
Yeah,
but that's what
made him. Damn right. That's what made him so tough, because he just didn't care. His demeanor, his attitude. Reggie hated this. Like, seriously, Reggie would get punched in the eye, in the face, and he would try and fight back, and Eric just kept doing it every play. It was amazing to watch play, and it neutralized Reggie White. Yeah, punch him in the nuts, and it works. It
makes punch him in the nuts and pee on yourself, and Reggie White becomes a shell of himself.
Yeah. I'll tell you, that alone gets him in the Hall of Fame. Seriously, the fact that he peed on himself and was so stinky doing it, and then he's playing at a very high level.
Was the peeing on himself specific to when he was going up against Reggie, or was that sort
I think
of a,
it was no I think it was every game.
Right.
He played at a high level. Creature habit. Himself. Yeah. Yeah.
He wanted all the advantages.
Imagine how free you'd feel just not having to take a break to use the restroom. Yeah.
You're like, bring it on. Yeah. Guess what I just did?
Do this guy. All day. Yeah. Dak played with a loogie on his jersey, and Reggie White was playing with another dude's pee on his.
All over
it,
him,
It
yeah.
did look like at training camp, Trayvon Diggs enjoyed going for Micah's groin at least one occasion.
Yeah.
So maybe that'd be a good job for him. If he can't cover.
You know? Shut your mouth, Eric. You shut up. I heard what happened yesterday.
I thought we couldn't to top yesterday.
No.
Here
what
we
do
are.
You guys got coming up on the show today?
Pure Gold, as always, thanks for asking. Definitely going to have to take a stroll through more of Broadus's football memories.
Yes.
That's outstanding. So John Oden, Pro Football Focus, is coming up at 3 o'clock.
All right.
Pure Gold, as always, thanks for asking.
Love it. Roll home with the G-Vag Nation. We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Tomorrow we'll be out at the ballpark 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Say goodnight, Kevin.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.